So, a short recapitulation of what we discussed yesterday. Yesterday we spoke about the importance of the human form of life, the differences and the commonalities in the human and the animal form of life. We discussed what are the problems of life, birth, old age, disease, death, adhyatmika, adhibhautika and adhidaivika. The third point we discussed was that material advancement does not give a permanent solution to these problems. It can only give a temporary relief. Rather, it gives rise to other problems. And we concluded with our fourth point by saying that we are looking for the right place, the right thing, happiness, but in the wrong place. We discussed how this world is stamped by the Lord by calling it Dukkhalayam, it's a place of miseries. So then we thought of this idea that if this is a place filled with miseries, is there a place free from miseries? Why did God create this world at all? And if He did create it, why did He create it filled with miseries? Duniya banane wale kya tere dil mein samayi kahe ko duniya banayi, right? And thus we raised the question, duniya banane wale kyon duniya banayi, usse pehle duniya banane wala hai kya, right? Is there someone who really created this world? Is there something called God that exists? Therefore, the discussion today is entitled, does God really exist? And is scripture the word of God? Now, 99% people in society, they claim that they are not atheists. Atheists, non-believers of God. They are not atheists. At the same time, they cannot swear and say that they are theists. You see, they turn off this claim. Hum nastik nahi hain. We are not atheists. So then you must be astik, theist. But they can't even say that they are theists. It's like dhobi ka kutta. Na ghar ka, na ghat ka. It is like aasman se tapke aur khajur mein atke. Neither here nor there. Not an atheist and not a theist. One time there was a sadhu and he came to a village. The villagers were very eager to hear about God. They wanted the sadhu to convince them about the existence of God. So the sadhu came, sat on the dais, looked into the audience and asked a question. How many of you seated here in this audience believe in the existence of God? All of them raised their hands, saying, all of us believe in the existence of God. The sadhu said, if all of you believe in God, then what is my job here? My job is to convince people about God. So the sadhu left. Now the villagers were even more adamant about getting the sadhu to speak. They went again and pleaded with the sadhu, requested the sadhu, please come, please speak about the existence of God. So the sadhu came and sat on the dais, once again looked into the audience and asked the same question again. How many of you here believe in the existence of God? And guess what happened? Yes, none of them raised their hands. Because they knew if they raise their hands, the sadhu will go away. The sadhu said, look, I do not associate with people who do not believe in God because I will also become an atheist. I am one and you are hundreds. So by your association, I will be an atheist. So the sadhu left. Right. Now the people were hell-bent upon getting the sadhu once again. They somehow pleaded upon him, requested him, The sadhu came again, sat into his revered seat, looked into the audience, and guess what? Once again, he asked the same question. How many of you here in the audience believe in the existence of God? And guess what they did this time? Any tries? Half of them raised their hands. They had divided themselves in two groups. Half raised their hands saying they believed in God, and the other half said they didn't raise their hands. We didn't believe in God. The sadhu said to all of them, look, those who believe in the existence of God can convince those who do not believe in the existence of God. What is the point of my being here? And the sadhu left. A hilarious, funny story, but gives us a very important and pertinent conclusion. And what is it? Our faith in God or our belief in God is very seldom based on a scientific, logical understanding. Our faith in God is very much based on situations or sentiments. If the situation demands you to say, I believe in God, you will say it. If the situation demands of you to say that you don't believe, you will say it. Right? Like for instance, you know, I had a friend of mine. And as soon as we passed our engineering, we were appearing and going in for interviews. We had campus interviews. And this guy went to the washroom. He was frantically looking for some kumkum, you know. I said, what happened? Why are you looking for kumkum? He said, because I'm going for an interview. I said, come on. If you put this kumkum, they'll probably not select you. He said, I just saw the interviewer, the main guy, going into the interview room. And he had kumkum on his forehead. So looks like he's a religious man, you know. So if I also put some kumkum on my forehead, then there are more chances of his being inclined towards me. So if it requires for me to say I am religious, I am a God-believing man to get a job, will I say it or not? Yes, I would. And if it requires of me to say that I don't believe in God to get a job, would I say it or not? If I see the person sitting in front of me does not believe, I get kind of what is the air around him. He is an atheist. Immediately, I don't believe in God. I'm not interested in all that stuff. Right? So our faith and belief in God is very much based on situations or at most some sentiment. What is the sentiment? Dadi ma ne bataya tha. नानी माँ ने बताया था, पुश्तानी रिवाज है, मंदिर में जाना, टीका लगाना, फूल चढ़ाना, ठाकुर जी को भोग लेकर जाना, पुश्तानी रिवाज, a sentiment, right? So should our faith in God be based on some sentiment or some situation? No. Our faith in God should be based on sound logic and reasoning. One of our devotees says that he had a friend. And this friend was a doctor. Both of them were studying together in school and college. Both of them passed out. And this devotee is now a brahmachari in a temple here. And his friend, he became a doctor. And he decided to open a big hospital. He spent about something like 50 to 60 lakhs opening a wonderful hospital. A polyclinic kind of thing. And then when it was time for the inauguration, he invited this devotee, this brahmachari, who was his friend before. And when he came there to the clinic for the inauguration, this devotee saw that there is some Satyanarayan puja going on. So this devotee told his friend, the doctor, come on, how can you do that? Don't you remember that you were an atheist in college? He said, what do you mean I was? I am still an atheist. He said, come on, you say you are an atheist, and what is that Satyanarayan puja then? Right. He said, I am still an atheist. I don't believe in God. But if there is a God, Why take chance? 50 lakh ka hospital banaya to 50 rupaye ka Satyanarayan puja bhi. If there is a God that exists, then why take chance at all? You see? That is the kind of wishy-washy faith, the fickle faith, the shaky faith that people have in God. Right? Thus, it is important for us to have a scientific, logical approach to understand whether God exists at all or not. Now, my question to all of you here in the audience is, how many of you believe that there is someone called God? Please raise your hands. Wow, that's a good number. Right. Except for one here, with the verse says T-shirt. Yeah? One here, madam here and sir here. Right. Except for two here in the audience, everyone says that they believe in God. Now, my question to the two members here who don't believe in God is, why don't you believe in God? Yes. Can you read? Write that. No belief. Point one. No, point one under that. No logical explanation. Okay. And yourself? I believe what I see. That's a fantastic logic. I challenge him to come if he's really there. Let that God who is above there in the skies come down here in this hall and let him show himself to me. And then I shall accept that there is God. Which means I believe in the funda. Seeing is believing. Right? Now, I would like to question the others here who with enthusiasm and faith raised their hand saying, we believe in God. Why do you believe in God? And what is the basis of your faith, your belief in God? Can you put the second category? Belief in God. Why do you believe in God? Now you said it, right? You said that you believe in God. I would just like to know, what are those factors that make you believe in something called as God? Yes, sir. He says, help in difficult times. Now, it may not be God. It may be coincidence, is it not? Aapke bhagya mein likha tha. वो हो गया और क्रेडिट किसको गया भगवान ने मदद की इज इट नॉट मेनी टाइम्स इट कुड जस्ट बी कोइंसिडेंटल एंड यू थिंक दैट ओ गॉड हेल्प्ड व्हाई गॉड मे नॉट बी मे बी आई एम नॉट डिनाइंग मे बी मे नॉट बी एनी अदर थिंग्स यस मैडम Choosing the right path. God is the only person who can give us the right path. You had something to say? Wow. Wonderful. Precision in the universe. Akshay. To have a creator, that's precisely what she said. Precision in the universe. Yes, sir. Okay. lack of scientific reasoning for things in the world force me to believe that there must be someone else. Science does not give me explanations for everything. So it impels me to think that there must be some cause. And he says, I credit that cause to be God. Right? Anyone else wants to add something? Yes. He says there's something to do with spiritual strength. When I feel strength from within, where does it come from? It doesn't come from my mind, so maybe it's coming from God. So, strength from within. Yes?
I believe in God.
Okay. Some voice that speaks. Some voice that speaks. The inner voice, right, that speaks makes me believe that it is God who speaks to me. Anyone else would like to add something more? Any more opinions? All right. Now, all of you have given wonderful points. Fantastic points to explain why you believe in God, and two of you gave points why you do not believe in God, and we'll try to address both the issues. Now friends, what I would like you to do is give me a list of a few urges that you feel. A urge. You understand what an urge is, right? An urge that you feel. Some urges. Pardon me? Partying. Just urges. Urges. So he says partying. Going for a party. It's an urge. I have to go for a party. Now let's talk about common urges. Because there might be few who may say, okay, I don't like to go for a party. Let's talk about common urges. Right. Huh? Something special to eat. Which means hunger, right? Okay. An urge to eat. Partying. Eating. Pardon me? Traveling. An urge to travel. Urge to? Thirst. Thirst is an urge. Huh? Meet some friends. Alright. Now look, it's quite interesting. We have certain urges, and do these urges have fulfillment? If you have an urge to go around partying, then what is the fulfillment for that urge? A party. Where you go. And if you have the urge for eating, you're hungry, or you're not hungry. If hunger is the urge, what is the fulfillment? Food. Right? And if you are not hungry but you have an urge to eat something nice, what is the fulfillment? Like sir said, rasmalais and rasgullas and pizzas and burgers and ice creams. Right? There is a fulfillment. Someone said we have an urge of thirst. And what is the fulfillment? Water. Someone said there is an urge to travel. And what is the fulfillment? Places. Niagara Falls. California, right. And you have Nainital, Darjeeling, Ooty, Mahabaleshwar, Mathura. Right? Now carefully think about it. Every urge in this world has a fulfillment. Right? If you have an urge within you, it must have a corresponding fulfillment available by which you can fulfill and satisfy that urge. Now, if you carefully observe human society, you shall find that there is a strong urge within every single one in society to worship someone, to adore someone, to respect someone, to make someone his or her hero, to make someone his or her role model. Is it not? You go to the jungles of Africa and you will find the aborigines, the tribals. They also do some worship. They also have someone to worship. A stone, a river, a tree. Is it not? And then in the modern context, you will find practically everyone has that urge to worship and adore someone. And who are the worshipable personalities? The sports stars, the music stars, the cinema stars. Such is this urge to worship. So strong is it that people do not mind building temples for these stars. Would you be surprised to hear that there is a temple for Jayalalitha down south? There is. And there is all the proceedings done in the temple. It's done for her also. There is the Mangalarti and the Bhoga offering and the Prasad. Everything is there. Would you be surprised to hear that there is a temple for Amitabh Bachchan? There is, in West Bengal, a temple for Amitabh Bachchan. What does it indicate? A strong urge to worship someone, to adore someone. Can you guess what could be the extreme degree of the fulfillment of this urge? There was a very famous rock star. When he would perform on stage, there would be millions of people going crazy, you know, just to have a glimpse, just to go a little close to him. That strong urge was impelling them. And in one such rock show, he became so excited, the adrenaline levels went up so high, he's just right from the stage, he started urinating on the audience. Can you imagine the extreme degree of that urge? And the people were eager, a few drops on us. You know, after the aarti is performed in the temple, they take that water and they sprinkle. And every faithful devotee wants a few drops on me. The same urge to worship someone to its extreme limits. I guess you must have all heard of Elvis Presley, right? The famous pop star. Elvis Presley, just recently in the US, a piece from his garbage can. You know, from his garbage can, they found it somehow, from somewhere. One single piece of trash, kachada, from his garbage can. Can you guess for how much did it sell? There was an auction held for $12,000. Kachade ka ek tukda, lekin Elvis Presley ke kachade ke dabbe se hai. इसीलिए उसके लिए 12,000 यूएस डॉलर. हाउ मेनी इंडियन रुपीस? नो, हाँ वो मिल, एक कचड़े का टुकड़ा मिला मिला ना, इसीलिए बेचा. या दैट्स अनदर थिंग. नाउ व्हाट आई एम सेइंग इज, टू सी फ्रॉम द पीपल्स पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू, व्हेन यू सी फ्रॉम द पीपल्स पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू, व्हाट डू यू सी? दैट अर्ज टू वर्शिप. So if your urge is hunger, can you go ahead? If you have the urge of hunger, go on, next slide. Yeah. There is food, go on. If you have the urge of thirst, no, wait. There is water. Don't go ahead till I tell you. Yeah. Have the urge of hunger, there is food as fulfillment. You have the urge of thirst, there is water as fulfillment. If you have the urge of worshipping someone, there must be a fulfillment provided in nature in order that you worship. Correct? So the first proof for existence to God is that each of us have a strong urge to worship someone, and the fulfillment for that urge is God. Right? Who invented the telephone? Graham Bell, fantastic. And who invented the steam engine? James 1. And who invented the telescope? Galileo. You're a very good GK. Huh? Galileo invented the telescope. And who invented the electric bulb? Edison. Fantastic. Thomas Edison invented the bulb. And Graham Bell invented the telephone. And James Watt invented the steam engine. Right? And Galileo invented the telescope. Right? Did you ever have something in this creation come without a creator? Next. Automatically one day, the telephone came in the air. Achanak. Right. Suddenly, all of a sudden, you found a telephone coming from nowhere and from the blues. Or suddenly on the railway tracks, you found the railway tracks and the steam engine started working. From where? From nowhere. Right? As soon as you talk of a creation, as Madam very nicely pointed out, right, precision in the universe, as soon as you see a creator, you know creation, you know that there has been a creator. Do you know what is the scientific version for the creation of this universe? The scientific theory? The Big Bang Theory. Initially, there was nothing in this world. Suddenly, there was a massive explosion, a Big Bang. And what do you find coming out of the Big Bang? This entire universe and creation with its precision, right? With its perfect controls. Where did it come from? A Big Bang. You know, when I was a child, I don't know how far they do it in Bombay here, but in Pune it's quite popular. During the Diwali season, no? They make what is called as a kila. You know, a fort. Sihagarh, Raigarh, out of... You see? And then they buy all these small... statues of Shivaji and all animals and put it all on that kila. Right. And do you know what we boys used to wait for in our childhood? We used to wait for when Diwali will not come. When Diwali will end. Why? Because along with the kila, there would also be for Diwali new clothes, sweets and crackers, you know, and amongst the crackers, I don't know how many of you know, there is one called Sutli bomb. You know, there is this kind of with ropes attached and it used to really burst loud. We boys would be so keen and eager, wait, when Diwali ends and we would spare one bomb specially. And what would we do? Put it inside that kila, ignite it and run away. And as soon as it would burst, the Big Bang, what do you think would happen? A new kila. You see? A new house. As soon as you talk of an explosion, what do you associate explosion with? Creation? Destruction. Right. We know in late 80s, or maybe the early 90s, there was bomb explosions in Mumbai. In the buses and the trains, there would be bombs. And in the bus, the bomb exploded. And what came out? A first-class Mercedes-Benz. Friends, did you ever see any kind of creation associated with explosions? How then we do not question these scientific theories? How could we just accept the scientific theories without any reasoning, without any logic? Simply putting faith. People say, hum na bhagwan mein nahi mante. To aap kis mein mante ho? Science mein. What is it? A different kind of blind faith. Is it not? What did I do? Instead of believing that God is the source of creation, what do I believe? The Big Bang is the source of creation. So what is science? Science is a religion of faith in faithlessness. Right? What is science? A religion of faith in faithlessness. Right? You didn't get it. Yeah. Anyways. So, questions, we'll take questions later. Yeah. So now, I'm going to ask you a few questions once again. All of you can see this greeting card, right? Now, what picture do you see on this card? A rose. Right? It's a two-dimensional picture only. How many features does this rose have? How many features does this rose have? How many features does this rose have? One. Color. Right? It simply has color. Because it's a 2D thing. Shape, no shape. It's put as shape, but it's in two dimensions. Shape and form comes when there are three dimensions. So it only has one feature, that of color. Right? Now, what is this? Also a rose. What kind of rose? Artificial rose made out of rexine. How many features does this rose have?
Two.
Color and shape. Because now it's a three-dimensional thing. Right? And look at this one. Right? What is this?
And how many features does this rose have?
Three. What are they? Color, form, fragrance, anything else? Pollen grains, anything else? Honey, nectar, for which the bees come, and then they carry the pollens, and they reproduce. Look at this one now. You know how it came? There was a canvas, a paper, there was some paint, an easel, brush, and automatically, the brush started painting this rose. Creator must have been there, no? There is a painter. This picture of rose with one feature has a creator. More complex is this one. Now it has two features. How did it come? Automatically. All of a sudden, did it? It also has had a creator, an artist who made it with its two features. And this comes from a Big Bang. This comes from a Big Bang. This came from an explosion. Oh God. How would we believe that? If a picture of a rose with one feature needs a maker, if a cloth rose with two features needs a maker, and this rose, with all of its natural n number of features, does not need a creator? It does. So, creation implies a creator, right? Now, one time, Newton, he made a instrument what is called as a gyroscope. Do you know what a gyroscope is? Gyroscope was a step-down model of the planets. Small-scale model of the planetary system. And there was a spindle which when it would revolve, they would move exactly the way they would move originally. One of Newton's friends came and said, "Fantastic man! You are a genius. What a model this is. What a classic piece of your genius is this." And you know what Newton said? He said, "You know, last night I slept and when I got up, no, this morning I found this model here. It came automatically." The friend said, "Stop kidding, Isaac. How could you say that? Come on. How can you say that? How can this come automatically?" He said, "No, no, really. I was sleeping and suddenly in the morning in my house, no, I saw this." He said, "Come on, Isaac. Stop it. Stop it. I tell you, stop it. You are a scientist, aren't you? How can you say such stupid, kiddish things?" Newton said, "My dear friend, if for a step down small scale model, A person like me is required to make it for the original model in stupendous dimensions. No one is required to make. The original one does not require anyone. Did you know that Newton was a student of the Gita? Did you know that Einstein was an admirer of the Gita? They were. Because they accepted the fact that there is a creator. So creation implies a creator. Now, my next question to all of you is, we know that there are many laws and rules and regulations that we follow in society. Is it not? Now let's take for instance, you are traveling by car. What rules do you have to follow? Drive to the left side of the road. Follow signals. Traffic rules. Yeah? When it's red, stop. When it's green, move. When it's a pedestrian sign, be slow. When it's a speed breaker, reduce your speed. And so on and so forth. You travel by train. Are there some rules? What is the rule? First basic rule. You travel by train, there is no rules. Travel in the right compartment, don't hang yourself, that's all later. You have to buy a ticket. Is it not? There was one sadhu who was traveling in a train, you know. So the TT came and said, ticket, ticket. Sir, ticket nahi hai saab. Ticket nahi hai, what do you mean ticket nahi? Bale, sadhu hu. Abhi Ram Janmabhoomi jana hai. Chhod dijiye na. Bale, theek hai, koi baat nahi. Mere saath chalo, main tumhe Krishna Janmabhoomi le jata hu. Take you in the prison cell, you know. So the first that is required is you need to have a ticket. And then you don't hang, don't go into the wrong compartment, don't carry explosives and so on and so forth. If you travel by plane, then what are the rules? First is ticket, of course. Turn your mobiles off, turn your electronic devices off, make sure your seat belt is fastened and so on and so forth. Right? If you go to college, what are the rules? Or to office, what are the rules? You need to have a certain proxy. Some attendance. And what did you say? No parking. No bunking. Yeah, that's attendance, right? So now, the traffic rules were made. Is it not? We follow these rules. Who decided that red should be stop and green should be go? We? Or it all of a sudden came up? Why only red for stop and green for go, not green for stop and red for go? There has been someone who made that law. For the traffic, road, or for trains, or for planes, or for colleges, law means a law maker. Next. As soon as you see laws, laws imply a, go on, a lawmaker. Is it not? Now, all around us, do we see some laws in nature? We do. For example, Madam, sun rises in the east. Did you ever see the sun rising from the west? Sun bola bore ho gaya east mein. Aaj thoda change ke liye west se aa jata hu. Do you ever find that? No. The seasons cyclically change. Did you ever find a change? Sometimes nowadays you see some drizzles in the winter season, but the basic season still remains the same. Is it not? You sow a mango seed and a mango tree grows, and what do you find hanging on the tree? Babies? Mangoes. And a man impregnates a woman, and the man, woman gives birth to a mango? A child. It is a law. And who made it? I? Anyone in this world around? Someone made it. Otherwise, how did it come? So, mango seed, mango only should grow. Why not baby on the tree? It is a law. And if it is a law, then that implies that there must be a lawmaker. And who is that lawmaker? God. Right? Now, there was a man. A very intelligent, how you call it? A very intelligent man, let's call him. And he was passing by a farm he saw that there were some creepers on the ground. Tiny creepers covering the ground. And there were huge watermelons. How many of you have seen watermelon creepers? They are all on the ground and big fruits, watermelons on the creepers, you know. He thought, whoever did it, no, is a nut. Such a huge fruit on such weak creepers. And he saw a banyan tree, huge banyan tree. Tiny banyan tree fruits. Just see, does it make any sense? Such a huge fruit on weak creepers and such tiny fruits on huge trees. Jisne bhi banaya, dimag nahi tha usko. So he was so tired, he came and he took rest under the banyan tree. As he took rest, a small tiny banyan fruit from the topmost branch of the tree fell on his eyes. And guess what happened? His eye was hurt. And what then? He went rushing to the doctor. The doctor cured his eye, opened this eye. But along with this eye, the inner eye also opened. And he thought, he is really intelligent who put it there, you know. If according to the size of the tree, he would have put that watermelon there, I wouldn't have to rush to the doctor. I would be probably rushed to the crematorium. You see? Which means there are precise laws that work here in society all around in the world. And laws imply a lawmaker. So why do we believe in God? Because of situation? Because of some sentiment? No. We know. For the urge of worship that we have, there is a fulfillment. That fulfillment is God. For everything created, we have seen a creator. So this world is created. There must be a creator. That is God. For every law that exists, there is a lawmaker. And I see so many laws around the world. That lawmaker is whom I call God. Right? So now we are convinced that God does exist. Now let's go a step further. What is the definition of God? How are we going to define God? Some of you would like to suggest a few things. You can rub that all out. Yeah. Yes, sir. Creator of all. Yes, sir. Huh? Very beautiful. Huh? More strength. Okay, first write down creator of all. Second, very beautiful. Third, strong. Yes. Sarvavyapak, all pervading, everywhere. Merciful. Right. Is all merciful. Yes. Who is attractive, all pervading, all merciful, attractive. All powerful. Yes, Akshay. Eternal. All powerful. Eternal. The creator, the sustainer, and the destroyer. Anything else? Anyone want? Omnipresent. Omnipotent. Omniscient. Right. Yes. Just a force, no identity. Right. He's just a force. He doesn't have any identity, he says. Not bound by the space-time frame. The supreme enjoyer. Right. Any more inputs? Invisible. Invisible. Next is supreme enjoyer. And then invisible. Anything else? Yes. Sanatan, that's what he said, eternal. Same thing, Sanatan and eternal. Yeah? Knowledge and bliss. He has knowledge and he has bliss. Ananda, yeah, bliss. That's true. Alright. Anyone else? Anything? Someone else? Okay, fine. Now, as soon as you ask people, I ask you, right? Could you give us a small presentation on the medulla oblongata?
I don't know what's that.
Oh, he says he doesn't know that, you know. Alright. And sir, could you give me a brief idea of how to solve a 5x5 diagonal matrix?
He doesn't know, you know.
And what about a idiopathic case? What is idiopathy? You don't know, really? He said he doesn't know what idiopathy is. You know what is idiopathy? When a doctor is not able to diagnose the disease, no, all treatments he tries, nothing works, then he writes on the case paper idiopathic. No, really. This is a medical term. Seriously. You can ask any medical doctor. Calls it idiopathy. What is the medulla oblongata? No, no. Some part of your brain. Right. Okay. Now, of course, you can say it's a part of the brain, but if I ask you, please tell us the anatomy, this, that, you say, I don't know. But as soon as I say, can you tell us something about God? Ooh! Everyone starts, bah, 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 bah. God is this, God is that, God is this. I think God is like that, I think God is like that, I think God is like that. Immediately there is a myriad of opinions about what God is. Is it not? We don't dare give our opinions on subjects we don't know. But as soon as God comes into picture, we give our opinions as if I was the only authority to define God. Is it not? Therefore, when I sometimes ask people, how do you define God? They say, God means light. So I ask, which light? Halogen light, tube light, you know, bulb light, which light? What is God? God means love. Which love? Love between a girl and a boy? Love between the mother and the child? Love between the nation and the freedom fighter? Which love is God? And there are yet others who say, God? He created, he got so tired, he went to sleep. Yet others say God is an ordinary human and is dead. There was a thinker called Nietzsche. You know, he went to a church and on the church he wrote, God is dead. Nietzsche. Next day when he was passing by, he read, Nietzsche is dead. God. And that seems to be a fact. We don't know whether God dies or not, but Nietzsche dies. That definitely we know, and whoever is God, he can say that. Nietzsche is dead. God says so. There were two kids, small kids, Christian kids. Very mischievous, notorious. And the mother and the father were fed up. Oof. Naak mein dam kar rakha hai. The father had tried everything, the mother had tried everything, nothing worked. Finally, the mother decided, there's one priest in the church close by. He generally deals with problems of kids. I'll take them there. So, both the brothers were brought. The priest said, first send the younger child in. He walked in. Priest's room, the desk, the table, priest on one side, the child on the other. The priest looked straight into the eyes of the child and said, where is God? Indicating that at least fear God. You know, where is God? Child was thinking, what should I say? Where is God? Nothing. He raised his voice. I say, where is God? The child ran away from there, you know. Pulled his brother's hand. Both the brothers ran. And they went into the attic, the loft, where both of them would plot their mischief. And the younger brother, panting for breath, came, sit down quick. I'll tell you, brother, we are in deep trouble. So what happened? He said, the priest says, where is God? I think God is missing and they think we stole him. Because he's asking, where is God? You know, hide and steal. But they're suspecting us for that. So in this way, people think that God is a thing, or God is light, or God is love, or God is nothing, God is something, God is anything, God is everything. Yeah, people say that. Have you heard? What is God? Nothing. What is God? Everything. What is God? Something. What is God? Anything. Have you heard these kind of definitions from people about God? I have. All the time. Right? Thus it is very pertinent and important for us to get a clear definition about God. Can you go next slide? Now look at this one, you know. Now, a person might say the same thing. Say, I believe in God, but what he actually thinks may be something else. So everyone says God, God, but their understanding of God is different. Like here, the father, you know, he was saying, hey Ma, but thinking of Ma Durga. Next. And the child was also thinking, hey Ma, but what was he thinking of? Hema Malini. You see? So both could say the same thing, but what they could think of and understand is entirely different. So everyone in this world can say something about God, but what they understand about God is entirely different. And thus, we need to have a very objective definition of what God is all about. And I think you have given several factors, and many of these are included in the definitions which we would make. Right. Now friends, have you ever thought of what your origin has been? When you go to a temple to offer puja, no, what they ask you? Gotra. You know, people say life came from Darwin. What should be our gotra then? Vanar gotra. Because we came from monkey. But every time we go to temple, gotra kya hai aapka? Bharadwaj gotra, Gautam gotra, Kashyapa gotra, this gotra, that gotra, but we are all followers of Darwin, no? So where did I come from? From a monkey. So what should be my gotra? Vanar gotra, but we don't say like that. Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya, used to say, Darwin's father must have been a monkey. My father has not been a monkey. Is it not? So whenever we talk of our life, we always think of our origin. Have you heard of this kind of statements in practically everywhere in India, you know? Especially for women. In Bihar, they ask, Kiski ho? Kiski ho matlab? Either Kiski beti ho? Ya Kiski patni ho? And whenever you go to fill an admission form or any form, what do they write? The first column is what? Your name. And what is the name? First name, father's name, and surname. Is it not? Everyone wants to know your source, your origin. What has been my source? My father. And there may also be the source of someone. Some married men may give birth to children. So they are the source of a child, and they have had a source, their father. And who is the source of that father? Your father? His father, your grandfather. And who is the source of his father? Your great-grandfather. In villages you will find pictures. Ye na mere dada. Pad dada. Pad pad dada. Pad 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 dada. You know, you go to villages, you have a whole ancestral lineage, you know. You see? Trace it down. My father, his father, his father, his father, his father, his father. There must be an end somewhere. Who is the source of everything, as someone said? The creator of all, sir said there, right? Who is the source of everything that exists and does not have a source? The first person, right? The first person who is the source of everything and everyone, but he does not have a source, right? Now, as soon as you make something or you are the source, you also have some control. Is it not? You have control over what you created or what you are the source of. How many of you can control something in life? All of us have some degree of control, no? What are the different things we control? Huh? Anger? Hunger? Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, that's true. Sometimes, thirst. Sometimes. Huh? Sleep, maybe. You don't control anything else? Siblings, your brothers. He has a brother, so he controls brothers. Parents can control children. Huh? Some wants. Some subordinates in office. Right. Some degree of control or the other is always there. You know, I read a caption once saying, there was a picture of a man and he said, I am the boss of this house and I have the permission of my wife to say so. You see? And therefore it is sometimes said, a man thinks that he is the boss of the house, but he houses the boss. You see? Someone just told me recently, it seems that marriage is the time when one, the man loses the bachelor's degree and the woman gets the master's degree. Sometimes the husband controls the wife and sometimes the wife controls the husband. Is it not? So there is definitely some degree of control that we have. And we are free, huh? No control above us. Is there any control above us? God, yeah, that's the ultimate. Any immediate control above us? Maybe nature, social controls, government, parents, so many people to control us, and IBM also to control us. You know what is IBM? Not International Business Machines. IBM is Involuntary Bowel Movements. IBM. Where is control? Right? Where is control? We have to rush. Is it not? So we may have some degree of control, but we are also controlled. God means He who can control everything and everyone, but has no one who controls Him, the first person. Now, as soon as you are the source, the creator, and the controller, you also become the proprietor, the owner, because you made it. Is it not? You make a house and someone else comes and lives there, you will drive him out. Is it not? So as soon as you make something, you become the proprietor. How long does our proprietorship last? You know, you may say, have you seen people fighting in the train for a window seat? As if it's their seat. And then what happens after some time? The station comes and gets down. Now who's the proprietor then? He was fighting so much. Mera seat hai. Main nahi chhodunga. Aur station aa gaya, utar gaya. Proprietorship gone. This is my car. This is my house. And everything will be taken away with death. Who becomes the proprietor? Someone else. God is that person who is the proprietor of everything and everyone because He made it. You know, once Birbal came to Akbar and said, Akbar, Bacha, you are greater than God. Akbar felt, he felt really good. Greater than God, but what makes you say that, Birbal? Bacha, you can do something which even God cannot do. He said, come on, stop kidding, you know, how can I do something which God cannot do? He said, yes, you can do something which God cannot do. Akbar asked, what? He said, you can take someone out of your kingdom and throw him into some other place, which God cannot, because everything is His kingdom. Where will He take him out of? Is it not? God cannot remove anyone out of His creation because everything is His. Where will He put? But Akbar can take him out of His kingdom and throw him in some other kingdom. So therefore, it seems that you are greater than God and you can do something which even God do, right? So God is the supreme proprietor of all that is. People like to claim proprietorship. There was one beggar at Dadar station. And all came on the Dadar bridge, no? Overbridge. Where so much crowd is there all the time. All the beggars came. Are you suna hai tumne apne beti ka shadi pakka kiya? Said, yes, yes, I fixed. And who is the boy? That beggar there, you know, on the bridge. And I also heard you are giving a massive dowry to your daughter, you know. I said, yes, yes, that is true. What is the dowry you are giving? The whole Dadar bridge. He can sit wherever he likes and beg wherever he likes. As if the Dadar bridge belongs to him. You see? But all that proprietorship is taken away. But God is the supreme proprietor. Right. Because He made it. And because He is the supreme proprietor, He is also the supreme enjoyer, as someone said, no? He is the enjoyer. Because I made it, I can control it, and I am the proprietor, and therefore I am the enjoyer. You work hard, you make a business, right? You make a hotel, a big hotel, and you are the owner of the hotel. You can control, no? What to make and what not to make in the hotel. Because you are the owner, you made it. And then you are also the enjoyer. After the salary comes, who eats a feast? The servant. No. You are entitled to enjoy because you made it. So what is the definition of God? Can you go ahead? God means the source of everything. The supreme source. Next. The controller of everything. The supreme controller. The proprietor of everything, the supreme proprietor. And thereby, the enjoyer of everything, supreme enjoyer. Now, we enjoy, but limited, not supreme. We have control, limited, and we are controlled. We may be the source of something, but we also have a source. Right? We may be the proprietor of something, but that proprietorship does not last for law. God means supreme source, supreme controller, supreme proprietor and supreme enjoyer. That is one definition of God. Now let's take another one. Whom do you consider to be an opulent person? And you are attracted to? Someone said God is all attractive, no? Yeah. All attractive. Whom do you get attracted to in society? Who are the people? Society that you are attracted to. Famous people. Right? Successful, oblique, famous people. Yeah? Powerful people. Successful, powerful, famous. Example for famous people? Any examples? Huh? Something extraordinary someone does. Yes. Any examples of famous people? Amitabh Bachchan, wonderful. You are attracted to Amitabh Bachchan. He's famous. Successful people? Ambani, Bill Gates, right? Lakshmi Mittal, is it not? Successful people? Huh? Spiritual people? Right. Attracted to spiritual people. Put it down. Can you write down that? Why are you attracted to spiritual people? Natural. Fine. And, huh? Loved ones? You're attracted to loved ones? Yeah? Pardon me? Knowledgeable people, intelligent, brainy guys, attracted to. Yeah. Now, these are a few things that make people attractive. They are called as opulent people. You know? There are six main categories of things that people are attracted to in this world. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashastriya jnana vairagya yoshchaiva shannam bhaga itingana. Aishwaryasya, wealth, right? Ambani, Bill Gates, right? Aishwaryasya, go on, next. Wealth, attracted to wealthy people. Aishwaryasya samagrasya, viryasya, virya, physical strength, power, attracted to Mike Tyson, isn't it? Physically powerful, strong people are attractive. Aishwaryasya, viryasya, yashashah, yash, fame. People like J.F. Kennedy. Ask not what the country can do for you. Ask what you can do for the country. Ta, 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 the whole United States was clapping and swooning. What a statement was that. Fame. We are attracted to famous people. Aishwaryasya, viryasya, yashashah, next. Shriyah. We are attracted to beauty. What is so special in the cinema stars? What is so special with Aishwarya Rai? Or what is so special with Shah Rukh Khan or Amir Khan? Their looks, beauty, or their physique, strength, their power. Right. Some people are not so physically attractive. Then they have muscles. Like I went to one hostel, you know, one dental college hostel. And I was giving a program, and as soon as I entered, I saw right in the middle of the wall, as you put picture of God, there was a picture. I didn't know who this was. Some new family. Who is this? They told me this is someone called John Abraham. That doesn't look so good. No facial. But look at the body. Strong, sturdy, powerful body. Right? So, Aishwarya, wealth. Veerya, strength. Yasha, fame. Shriya, beauty. Jnana vairagya yoschaiva. Gyan. We are attracted to knowledgeable people. See, you already knew it, you know. That's all what we wrote on the board. Is it not? We are attracted to these people. Someone who is very knowledgeable, learned. Vairagya yoschaiva. Vairagya. Some spiritually minded people who have some renunciation. Vairagya. Why are people attracted to spiritually minded people or freedom fighters? Because they have renounced things of this world. That makes them attractive. So these Sikhs are called as opulences. Shannam bhagai tingana. What is a wealthy man called in Sanskrit? Hindi, Sanskrit. Dhanwan, no? Dhanwan. And what is a powerful man, strong man called in Sanskrit? Shaktiwan. What is a very learned man called in Sanskrit? Vidyawan. Right. And what is a very character-based person called in Sanskrit? Shilawan. Huh? Charitravan. Shilawan. Right. Sushil also. Yeah. Sushil also. Correct. So, Dhanwan. Correct? Vidyawan. Shaktiwan. Shil one. Bhag one. Right. So now from the word dhanwan, what does the word one mean? Possessor. Right. He who possesses wealth is dhanwan. He who possesses vidya is? He who possesses good character? Shil one. He who possesses shakti? Shaktiwan. He who possesses bhaga? Bhagavan. And what does Bhaga mean? Opulences. These six opulences are called Bhaga. Wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Can someone have all of these? A wealthy man? Andar kuch nahi hota kai baar. A very intelligent man? Poor. Beautiful man? Not strong. Strong man, not beautiful. Sometimes wealthy, beautiful and strong, but not renounced. Sometimes renounced and knowledgeable, but not wealthy. One can have a permutation and combination, but can someone have all? Let us exaggerate and say someone has all. But can someone have all of this to the utmost degree? No. Who is God? Bhagavan. He who possesses all six of these, number one, number two, to the supreme degree. Not just thoda sa beauty, thoda sa wealth, thoda sa knowledge. All six simultaneously to the supreme degree is called as Bhagavan. So now we have two definitions of God. So first we saw today the proof for existence of God. Secondly we saw two definitions of God. Next. Now someone might say, can you show me God? I don't believe in God. I don't see God. Show me God and I shall believe in Him. Should I tell you a nice story? Yeah. So there was once a class of in college, in a certain college. And there in this college, the professor of philosophy came in and said, students, we are going to have a lot of fun this semester. The professor was an atheist. He looked into the eyes of his students, made one student get up, said, "Do you believe in God?" The student said, "Yes, of course, I do." "And then what is the definition of God?" He said, "God means the source of everything." The professor said, "Source of good." "Yes, sir." "And source of bad?" "Caught. How can he say that God is a source of bad?" No answer. The professor made another student get up. "Do you believe in God?" "Yes, sir, I do." "And did you see God?" "No." "Did you hear God?" "No." "Did you smell God?" "No." "Did you touch God?" "No." "Did you taste God?" "No." This is how you get knowledge, no? By the knowledge acquiring senses, Gyanendriya, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and touch. If you have not seen, heard, tasted, smelt, or touched God, according to the protocol of science, I declare that there is no God. The class was silent. One student got up and said, "Sir, can I speak?" "Please go ahead." "Sir, I would like to ask a question to my friends in the classroom." He asked his friends. First, he asked a question to his professor, sorry. He asked the professor, "Sir, I would like to ask a question to you. Is there something called as darkness?" "Darkness." "Yeah?" The professor said, "Yes, yes, there is something called darkness." The student said, "Sorry, sir, there is nothing called as darkness. There is something called as light, and the absence of that light is darkness." Can you imagine a concept called darkness without light? Right now here in this room we have light. Turn it off. Absence of this light is what is darkness. So is this light source the source of darkness? Yes, in one sense, and no, in one sense. So God is the source of all good. And the absence of that good in our life is bad or evil. Right? So God didn't make evil. He made everything good. When we choose not to follow good, what comes in? Evil. Here is light. When we choose not to keep the light on, what do we have? Absence of light or darkness. Now the student said, "I will turn to all of my friends here. And friends, please answer honestly." The student asked all of his colleagues and friends, "Friends, how many of you have seen the brain of our professor?" They said, "None of us." "How many of you have heard the brain of our professor?" "None." "How many of you have smelt the brain of our professor?" "None." "How many of you have touched the brain of our prof?" "None." "How many of you have tasted the brain of a professor?" I guess that's where the word dimag chaatna came from. How many of you have tasted the dimag? Kitno ne chaata hai? None. Therefore, according to the protocols of science, I declare that the professor has no brains. Isn't it? How many of you here believe and agree that you have a brain? None. I would be surprised by that. I guess all of you do. Right. And how many of you have seen it? Don't tell me you have seen your MRI scans and CT scans and X-rays. That's not what you saw. How many of you have seen your brain with these eyes? Directly. Do you believe there is a brain? Yes, you do. How? Because you can think. Right? Because you could think, you believe that there is a brain. This is called as the theory of the cause and effect. I may or may not be able to see the cause, but by seeing the effect, I deduce that there must be a cause. I may not be able to see the brain, but I deduce that there is a brain by seeing the effect. Some of you are sitting under fans. Not some, most of you are sitting under fans. And the fans on the top of your heads are what? stationary. And if you turn behind in that corner, there is a fan that is working and moving and revolving and rotating. Yeah? Why? Why is that fan moving and why not this one? Yeah? The switch is on. And what does it mean to have the switch on? The flow of an electric current. Right? Now, how many of you friends saw the electric current? The basis of modern science is an atom, and an atom, electron, proton, neutrons, and how many of us saw an electron? Our whole study of science is based on what? Atom, proton, neutron, and an electron. How unfortunate that we have never yet seen it, and we have constantly believed in it. How many of us saw the electrons flow in this wire here? None. But do you believe that there is an electric current flowing? How? Because the fan is moving. Seeing the effect, you know that there is a cause, although it is unseen. How many of you have seen a puppet show, friends? I guess most of you. Oh, yeah. A friend there has seen a puppet show. Eh? Wonderful. Everyone has seen a puppet show. And when you see the puppets dance, only a kid might think, wonderful, I never knew that dolls could dance, you know. The effect is the puppets dancing, and what is the cause? The puppeteer, the person whom we may not be able to see. Correct? And then, have you seen nice crops everywhere? Green grass, trees. Only a kid thinks it comes automatically. We know that there is a soil underneath, though it's not seen. And sometimes you may see an arrow rushing towards its destination with high velocity. Where is it coming from? An intelligent person knows, is someone hiding behind the bush who's hunting the tiger, the antelope or whatever, who has shot the arrow. If the effect is the arrow moving, who is the cause? The archer. If the effect is the puppet dancing, who is the cause? The puppeteer. If the effect is the fan moving, what is the cause? The current. If the effect is the plants growing, what is the cause? Although we may not see it, always. Right? Next. Getting the eyes to see God. So I gave the example of the tree and the soil. Next. The fan and the current. The arrow and the bowman, the archer. The puppet and the puppeteer. Right? This is called as a theory of cause and effect. What is the effect in this world? Everything is going on in perfect, precise order. So, although I may not be able to see God, I know that there is a God behind there. You see? Have you heard of the name Yuri Gagarin? And who was he? The first man in space. Yuri Gagarin came to the United States. And in a school, he was giving a presentation. So, one student raised his hand and said, "Sir, I have a question." He said, "What? When you went to space, did you see God there?" He said, "No." The principal, who was a Christian priest, said, "Can I say something?" He said, "Yes." The priest said, "When he was here, he could not see God around. When he goes to space, how will he see God? If you have to see God, you don't have to go to space to see God. You can see the presence of God right around you." You see? So, yes. Number one, simply by the theory of cause and effect, we can see God. Although we are not seeing the actual person. Then the question is, can we actually see the person? No? Yes? Can we actually see him? The focus is not so much on seeing him. It is said, Guru Maharaj would say, "Do not try to see God. Serve God in such a way that God wants to see you." If you want to see God, there are going to be a million obstacles. But if He wants to see you, who can stop Him? And if He wants to see you, you will automatically see Him. Yesterday I was telling someone the story of President Carter. Have you all heard of Jimmy Carter? At least most of you. Jimmy Carter was the ex-president of the States. When he was contesting elections, he was very busy with all of these affairs. After he was elected as the president, he was going to the newspapers to find out what was the kind of propaganda that was being made. for him. And he found an interesting picture. Terrestrial beings in the picture. You know, some who got down from some UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Some extraterrestrial beings from some other planet. Who are they? The Hare Krishna monks. You see, because people thought there's some new species who has come, especially in the United States, you know. The picture was the University of Florida campus. And Hare Krishna monks wearing saffron and having mridanga, chanting Hare Krishna, some raising their hands, some jumping with the Hare Krishna mantra. And there was one American fellow in town. This is a real story. Who had a plaque in his hand. And what was written on the plaque? Vote for Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was exceptionally pleased. Something special he has done. Everyone may go and stand near the railway station and this and that. He is standing amongst people who will make me famous. Draw the attention, no? Something different means draws the attention. People must have noted it.
So he said,
I want to take lunch with him tomorrow. Told his secretary. The secretary said, we don't know where he is from. Maybe in Florida because it's the University of Florida campus. I want to see him. Make sure he takes lunch with me tomorrow afternoon. Now what could they do? They made a network and sent phone calls and emails everywhere and figured out where this man lives and brought him for lunch next afternoon. So Carter was now taking lunch with this man. Or should I say it otherwise? The man was taking lunch with Carter. Now just imagine if he wanted to go to take lunch with Carter, was there any, even a, you know, feeble possibility? But if Mr. Carter wanted, who could stop him? And why would Carter want? Because he did something special for him. So also when we want to see God, will we be able to see God? With the eyes made of flesh, will we be able to see God who's made of spirit? But if he wants to see us, he'll come in front of us and we'll be able to see him. Why would he want to see us? Only when we do something special for him. We serve him. We love him. We devote our time, energy and attention towards him. Right? And I'm going to address this issue of seeing is believing once again on the fourth day. Therefore, I won't get into much details now. And I'll get into it on the fourth day again. Right? So, can we see God? Yes, we can. Through the cause and effect. And secondly, through service to him when he wants to see us. Next. Unseen is proven by the seen. Just as pearls are strung on a thread, similarly the entire world rests upon me, says Lord Krishna in the Gita. You have a pearl necklace? All the pearls are together. Aren't they? Automatically? No. There is a string that passes through. Can we see the string in a pearl necklace? We can't. And yet we know that it is that string that holds everything together. All the planets, the universes are like the pearls and all of them are held in their perfect orbits. By what? By the unseen string of God. By the unseen force of God. Right? Now, first point we discussed today was proof for the existence of God. Second, definitions for God. Third, can we actually see God? Now fourth, how do I know God? How do I know about God? I would like to call. Can you come? Come here. Now the task that each of you have in front of you is, you have to get knowledge about this boy here. Right? And generally, what is the knowledge about a person you would like to know? What is his name? What is his age? Where he stays? What he likes? What he dislikes? What he does? And so on and so forth. Right? Now look at him and tell me what his name is. Look. Tell me what his name is. Look. Look at him and tell me, where does he stay? Huh? Guess. I'll come to that. Yeah, we can guess. Right? Look at him and tell him what is his favorite dish. Dalda? Dal chawal, okay. Look at him and tell me what is his favorite cinema star. Amitabh Bachchan. Okay. Look at him and tell me what is his favorite cricket star. Sachin Tendulkar. All right. You expect me to believe that? Sorry. Right. He can change his answers. That's fine. That's fine. Let's come to that also. Yeah. Now, can you get knowledge about a person by looking at him? No. Can you get knowledge about a person by guessing about him? Like we are all guessing. What is his name? Maybe. What? Maybe? Huh? Muhammad. Mohan. Maybe? Huh? Huh? Rajesh. Correct. Guesswork. And what is his favorite dish? Maybe? Pizza. Maybe? Samosa. If you want to know about him, what should you do? You have to? Just see. So simple. What is your name?
Adinath.
Adinath. Nowhere close. Sorry. Where do you stay?
Nagpada.
Nagpada. And what is your favorite dish?
Dal chawal.
Oh. You got it somewhere close, huh? Okay. And what is your favorite cricket star?
No one.
No one.
He doesn't have one. Good. And what is your favorite cinema star?
No one.
My God, he's a sadhu, you know. Looks like he's a monk. He doesn't have a favorite cinema star. He doesn't have a favorite cricket star. Can we all give a big hand to him? We made him a guinea pig, you know. Thank you, Adinath. Hare Krishna. Now, look at what we have come to. We cannot gather knowledge about someone by simply seeing him. We cannot gather knowledge about someone by simply guessing about him. We can gather knowledge about someone by asking him and hearing from him. So when we talk of three methods of acquiring knowledge, there are three. We just saw here. One is using our senses, our eyes, our ears, etc. This is called as pratyaksha praman. Gather senses. Second is, now we have gathered some data, based on that we will make a hypothesis, guesswork. That is called as anuman praman. And third is ask the person and hear from him. That is called as shabda praman. The shabda he speaks, we hear. Right? Have you got the difference between three? All are with me still now? Okay. So, first is pratyaksha praman. Next. Go on, next. Yes, first. Pratyaksha praman. Which means, what do I use? My eyes, my ears, my nose, my touch, my tongue. Any knowledge, these are the five ways of getting it. Okay? So, I can get some knowledge about some things of this world. Even that will have limitations. All the readings that you take on your ammeters, voltmeters and all the instruments, is it perfect? There is always some errors. Plus or minus 1%, 2%, because our senses are not perfect. Are our senses perfect? With our eyes, can we see everything? No? Sure? Can you see our own eyelids with our eyes? Closest to our eyes is our eyelids. Try seeing. We can't. And we are talking of seeing everything else in the world. Right? If a person is standing 10 feet away, can you recognize him? No. And we think we can see everything with these eyes. Is it not? And if there is no light at all, can you see anything? So in order to see, we are dependent on light. And with these eyes, which are dependent on light to see, which cannot see someone a few feet away, which cannot see the eyelids which are the closest to us, whom do we want to see? God. Right? So if we want to acquire knowledge about God, can we use the Pratyaksha Praman? Why? First, because our senses are imperfect. And second, because is God in front of you? Adinath was at least in front of you. So there was some way that you could use, something you could know about him by seeing him. At least his color you definitely knew. His height you definitely knew. But is God in front of you? So is this the way we can acquire knowledge about God? No. Do you want to see an interesting example of how our senses are limited? You should all now see on the screen and do this exercise. Go. Now, this is a thing on the screen. Concentrate on the four vertical dots.
1, 2, 3, and 4.
Okay. Concentrate on the four vertical dots in the middle of the image below for 30 seconds. Now close your eyes. Look at what I'm doing. Tilt your head back. Keep them closed. Close your eyes. Tilt your head back. Keep them closed. You'll see a circle of light. Keep staring at the circle. What do you see? Right. Now, I'll say your time starts now. Look at these four dots. Keep staring only at the four dots in the middle of the picture. Your time starts now. Close your eyes, tilt your heads back, and see what you can see. Can you see a circle? Stare, keep staring at the circle. What are you seeing? Huh? Jesus Christ, there you are. Right. Jesus Christ. How many of you saw Jesus Christ? Yes. You did it rightly. You did focus on these four dots, right? Now, can you see Jesus Christ anywhere here? No. This is called as an optical illusion.
Right.
It's actually, if you carefully observe now, after I told you it's Jesus Christ, then you'll see this white thing. Just see the white now. It looks like his hair and the beard. Right. So, what can we see? If you see this in the first instance, what will you think? Hey, kala kala sapit sapit kya hai? When you focus, you understand that it is an image of Jesus Christ. You see? So our senses are imperfect and therefore we cannot get knowledge about God by Pratyaksha Praman. Let's try the other one. Next. Anuman Praman. What is Anuman? Guesswork. When will you make guesswork? Only when you have Pratyaksha. Right. You get some data and then you start thinking. Yeah. Itna sa Adinath. Kya ho sakta iska naam? He looks like it. Maybe his name is like that. Maybe his age is like that. Like madam said, we can guess his age. Maybe his age is like that. So is God present in front of us? Pratyaksha is not there. So, Anuman also is not there. But what do people do about God? Anuman. Mere hisab se, Bhagwan aise hai. Mere hisab se, Bhagwan aise hai. The third is called as Shabda Praman. I don't know what it is. I hear from a authority. I hear from the person himself. Like we asked him, so simple, ask him, what is your name? Adinath. What is your favorite dish? Dal Chawal. Where do you live? Nagpada. Any favorite cinema star? No. Any favorite cricket star? No. Simple. So you can't get knowledge of God by Pratyaksha. You cannot get knowledge of God by Anuman. If you want to know about God, whom should you ask? Any Tom, Dick and Harry on the street? Any Era, Gera, Latthu, Khera? Whom should we ask if we want to know about God? God himself. If you wanted to know about Adinath, did we ask anyone else about Adinath? No, we asked him. So if we want to know about God, should we ask any third person about God? Who can give us best knowledge about a person? The person himself. Who can give us best knowledge about God? God himself. My. Here we are again faced with a major problem. only God can tell us who He is, what His name is, what His address is, what His telephone number is, what His email ID is, where does He live, what He likes, what He dislikes. Right. Only He can tell us. And what is the problem at hand? Yes? What is the problem now? We know that He can tell us, but what is the problem in knowing Him? Yes? He is not seen, He is not in front of us. Is it not? Therefore, the knowledge that God speaks about Himself is called Shabda Praman. And this knowledge pervading the entire cosmos, the vibrations of that knowledge, this world is pervading the entire cosmos. Right? Do we have Vivid Bharati going on here? No? Are you sure? Do we have Vivid Bharati? I don't know what are the modern day radio programs, you know. Oh, I know one. Radio Mirchi. 98.3 or whatever. Yeah. Is it not? Is it going on? Yes. All the signals are pervading this room. Can we hear Jitu Raj? Ye hai Jitu Raj. Can we hear him? We can't. How should we hear him? What do you need to hear him? A radio receiver. And once you have a radio receiver, what do you need to do? Tune the receiver to the right frequency, and then what is already here, you start hearing. Correct? So the knowledge given by God, Shabda, is pervading the entire cosmos. Which radio receiver is required? Philips? Sanyo? Which radio receiver? I remember. Old one. That's gone now. I don't know where Murphy has gone. Murphy radios? No. The heart is considered to be a receiver. As soon as one's life is in tune with God's words, they are there all over. And they are revealed to us within our heart. The first created being Brahma. He did not go and take a course, Bhagavad Gita course. The knowledge was revealed to him in the heart because he was in tune. A receiver is in tune. What is already there, you catch. Here. Already the knowledge of God spoken by him is there. Because he was in tune, he could catch it in the heart. Idhar hi apna patta cut ho jayega. Right. How can I tune my life? Modern day man, naukri, dhanda, family, busy schedules. I don't have time to do tapasya and tune my life with God. So what is the hope for me? What God speaks and is everywhere and which can be tapped in the heart is also documented and written down. Same things which is available all over here is also documented and written down. And what is that documented stuff called? Scripture. That is why our second part of the session today was, is Scripture the Word of God? The Scripture is not something which we have written down based on our own ideas. Scripture is written down by God Himself in His form, incarnation as Vyasadeva. Right. So God speaks and it's available in the heart, but for most of us that's too much. So therefore what does God do? Comes down and writes it down, documents it. Therefore Scripture or Shastra is called as the Word of God. Next. As it comes from the perfect source, God, Vedic knowledge is infallible. Someone may say, what is the proof? Thousands of years passed, don't know. Vedas does not mean some old palm leaves which have been eaten by some ants. What does Veda mean? Veda, the word Veda means knowledge. Knowledge of whom? Knowledge of God. The very word Veda means knowledge of God. You see? In these Vedic scriptures, how do we believe that this is true? How do we believe that whatever God has spoken is true? Go on. A few things to prove it. Like, 500 years back, you know what they said? When Columbus was setting forth for his voyage, they said the earth is flat. Don't go to the final end or you will fall in space. Right? And what do people say today? Earth is round. And in the Vedic scriptures, millions of years ago, it is documented. What? Bhugol. Earth is addressed by this word as Bhugol. And what does Bhu mean? Earth. And what does the word Gol mean?
Round.
So it's already said. And now science said. And then again they are coming to the same conclusion as the Vedas say. And Bhugol has Saptadvip. Seven continents. Mentioned millions of years ago. Next. Plants having life. How many years it was found that plants have life? How many years back? 40, 50, 80 years back. Who found? Mr. Jagdish Chandra Bose. And before that, plants didn't have life? Before that, plants were dead, isn't it? They had life. And the Vedic scriptures already classify plants as living species. As someone said the other day, yesterday, there are 84 lakh species of life. We will be discussing that in greater detail in the sessions to come. One is plants. Already written, just being proven now. Next. Human embryology. Till the sonograph was invented, did anyone know what is happening in the womb? And how old is the sonograph? Max a 50 or a 60 years old. Before that, in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev is telling his mother Devahuti, from the time of the conception, every day how the fetus develops and what the fetus goes through till birth and how the child takes birth. Detailed description of embryology already found in the Vedic literatures. Right? Next. There are many astonishing predictions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is predicted in the Bhagavatam 11th canto, 35th chapter, 33rd, 2nd verse, millions of years before he actually came. And he appeared 500 years back in West Bengal. Exactly what was said came true. Next. Buddha was predicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, verse number 24, far before he was born. And he took birth. Where he would be born, what is the name of his mother, father, everything predicted. Next. Chanakya Pandit. Next. Chandragupta Maurya, King Ashoka, all predicted before they are coming to this world. And all has been seen to come. Now, wouldn't you be surprised to hear that Jesus Christ was predicted? The Bhavishya Puran predicts the birth of Jesus. Where he'll be born, what he'll do, what his name will be. And Jesus is speaking to a rishi called Shalyavan in the Himalayas. And there is a Sanskrit verse where he reveals what is his name and what will be his name in future. He says, I am Ishaputra. What is Ishaputra? The son of God. And from the word Ishaputra comes the word Isa. From the word Isa comes the word Jesus. Right? Bhavishya Puran predicts the birth of Jesus. Bhavishya Puran predicts the birth of Prophet Muhammad. Right? Now I think you must have all been taken aback by a surprise. Huh? And I'm going to come to that, end that surprise also soon. I'm trying to mention is, how do we believe that the Vedas are true? Because all what is said there is seen to come true in our experience. Next. Now, as soon as we hear this, God, how many gods are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 25, 26 and a half, 26.45, 1 lakh and 2,033.4. How many? 33 crores. How many gods? Tomorrow's session is one god or many gods. Right? There is something in this bottle. And what is it called? Come on, stop kidding. Is this water? Are you sure? Huh? What is it? Air. Come on. Water. He already said it. Come on. What is it? Jal. Sure? Toya. Oh. How many of anyone Malayali here? This is Vellam. Anyone is a Tamil here? Tamilian? This is Tanni. Yeah? Sanskrit? Neer, Jal, Salil. English? Water. Russian? Voda. Not Voda. Voda. What are we referring to? many objects, we are referring to one object known by different names. When we talk of God, we don't refer to many gods. We refer to one God who is known by different names. Is your God Allah? No. Is your God Jehovah? No. Is your God Krishna? Yes. Okay. Now, if I ask him, is your God Allah? He said, no. Do you know what the word Allah means? The word Allah means the all-powerful. Say, my God is not Allah. What do I say? My God is not all-powerful. Is your God Jehovah? He said, no. Jehovah means the all-merciful. So to say that my God is not Jehovah means to say that my God is not all-merciful. And is your God Krishna? No. To say that my God is not Krishna means to say that my God is not all-attractive, because Krishna means all-attractive. So we are referring to this one object, water, with vellam, tanni, neera, salila, toya, ovoda, right, all different names. We are referring to that one person who is called Allah because he is all-powerful. Jehovah because he is all-merciful. Who is called Krishna because he is all-attractive. Known by different names. Now are you surprised about the prediction of Muhammad and Jesus in the Bhavishya Puran? We are not talking of many gods. The God that Jesus was talking of, the God that Muhammad was talking of, the God that India were talking of, person. If it is the same one person, then why different scriptures? Didn't you get that question? If God is one, then why different scriptures talk about different things and call him in different ways? Yeah? Now let me ask you a simple question. Right. All of you have gone through school and college. Right. All of you have studied mathematics. How much is 3 minus 2? 1. Good. And how much is 1 minus 3? Minus 2. Very good. And how much is cos of 60 degrees? Cos 60? Half. Half. And how much is the Laplace's transform of 60 degrees? Okay, what is this new thing come? What is the Fourier integral of 60? A little bit. Come for you. He's an engineer, so he can say. But he doesn't know the whole thing because he's only a second year student yet. Right. Now, what did I talk of? Which subject did I talk of? Chemistry, biology, zoology, mathematics. 3 minus 2 is what? No, maths. 1, but maths. And for 1 minus 3 is what? Maths. And cos of 60 is what? And Laplace transform of 60 is what? Maths. All is maths. And I am a teacher of maths. And I know everything. And I go to class 2 and teach them Laplace's transform. Will they be able to digest? You ask a class 2 child, how much is 3 minus 2? 1. How much is 1 minus 3? How can you subtract a greater number from a smaller number? That is his limitation. Right. And you go to a student who is in 5th class and ask him, how much is 3 minus 1? How much is 1 minus 3? Minus 2. And what is cos 60? Cos? What cos? The cause of something or what? What cause? Doesn't understand anything. And you go to a student in 8th or 10th standard and ask him, how much is 3 minus 2? 1. How much is 1 minus 3? Minus 2. How much is cos of 60? 1 half. How much is Laplace transform of 60? Laplace. What is that Laplace? I don't know anything like that. Everyone is being taught the same subject according to standard, according to the capacity to digest, ingest and understand. the message is the same thing. Similarly, God gives us the same message, but gives it according to the capacity of the people to understand. Sometimes He Himself comes and gives, sometimes He sends His Son, sometimes He sends His prophet. Right. He sends His Son. Where? To Israel. And what are the kind of people living there? Fishermen. Right. Who cannot understand. Some concept of God is presented. Second class. Dusri ke bachche hain. Therefore, what did Jesus say? Ye men of less faith, I have a lot to tell you now, but you cannot understand. Therefore, He kept saying, the Bible says, the Son of God said, O Father, Thou art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, let Thy kingdom come, let Thy will be done on earth as is done in heaven. Forgive us this day our, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Right. O Father, who is, what is the name of the Father? Shh. Can't tell, because the level is not so strong yet, that they can understand who the Father is, how He looks like. They're not on that level. Or sometimes He sends His prophet. To teach what? Different subject? Same subject. But according to the level of the people. And therefore, when Muhammad spoke to the people in the Middle East, what did he have to say? Thou shalt not have sex with your mothers and sisters. That is the level of the people. Therefore, this has to be spoken. And then God comes Himself, Krishna comes Himself and gives knowledge to Arjuna. The Bible, Jesus says, thou shalt not kill. Why? Because they are killing and eating flesh. Muhammad saying, do not have sex with your mothers and sisters, because they are doing that. Now, this doesn't have to be told to Arjuna. He is already a postgraduate student. Do you have to come and tell a postgraduate student, sir, you know what? Do you know the number line? Today, no. In class, we are going to learn the number line. Do you have to teach him that? All that has already been done, and now he is on a level where he can study Laplace's transform, Z transform, Fourier series, Fourier integral. Even if you don't know, that's not a problem. Right. These are all complex levels of mathematics in engineering. Right. Now, it's the same subject being taught, but in a way that people can digest. So, second standard child should remain in second standard only, no? No. He should graduate slowly to come to the highest level of understanding. So, although the Bible is a bona fide book, the Quran is a bona fide book, and the Gita is a bona fide book, the Gita is complete understanding of God. Though the second standard textbook is a mathematics book, though the 8th standard textbook is a mathematics book, and though the PhD book is also a mathematics book, the PhD book is a complete understanding of mathematics, you see. Therefore, next. Different scriptures are meant for different audience and are revealed according to time, place and circumstance. Right. Let me give you a simple example. Have you seen something called as a Pocket's Dictionary and something called as a Chambers Dictionary? In the Pocket's Dictionary, you will find meanings like go, come, sit, eat, all these meanings. Are they there in the Chambers Dictionary also? Yes. But more complex words. Right? Can you suggest a few complex words? Plethora. You won't find a plethora in Pocket's Dictionary. Or nostalgia. You won't find a word like nostalgia in a Pocket's Dictionary. So the Chambers Dictionary has all what is there in the Pocket's Dictionary plus much more. The Vedic literatures have all what is there in the Bible and the Quran plus much more. The Bible says God created. How? Not known. But Srimad Bhagavat, God created. How? He made the 24 elements and these elements interacted with this element and this element was born. Detailed description. Right. All the scriptures will talk of the same thing. Sin no more. Everywhere. Love God. Everywhere. Talks of the names of God. O Father, let hallowed be Thy name. The Quran has 99 names of Allah. Right. And we have Vishnu Sahasranam. Right. Name of God being spoken everywhere. So common factors are there, like go, come, sit, etc. But in the Vedic literatures there is much, much more. What? Continue. So we might have so many different varieties of dictionaries, is it not? Pocket's dictionary, medical dictionary, Chambers dictionary. Correct? But everything is found in a Chambers dictionary. All what is there in the others plus more. What? Yeah, just continue. Now I know that we have all come to a question in our mind. Okay, we want to study the Vedic scriptures now. Understood. It is the complete. But the problem is so many of them. Four Vedas, what are the names? Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Yajur Veda, Atharva Veda. How many Puranas? 18. And how many Upanishads? 108. And then the Ramayana, and then the Mahabharata, and the Srimad Bhagavat, the Vedanta Sutra, so many scriptures. I don't have time, sir. Right. So which scriptures you should study? Yeah. Just skip this. Go ahead. Go on. What are the most important scriptures for the Yuga? The Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. How? All the Upanishads compared to a cow. And what is the essence of the cow's body? The milk. If all the Upanishads are like a cow, then the Gita is like the milk. The essence is in the Gita. And if you want to milk the cow, what do you need? A cowherd boy and a calf. So if all the Upanishads are like the cowherd boy who is milking this cow. And who is the calf? Arjuna is the calf. So the Gita is the essence of all Upanishads. The 18 Purana tree. And what is the essence of a tree? The fruit. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the fruit which has the essence. So if we just study the Gita and the Bhagavatam, our knowledge about God can be thorough and complete. We are in time. We have 1.5 minutes to go more. I can do a short recap now. So the first thing is, what we discussed today, the first point, proof for existence of God. Three things. Every urge, there is a fulfillment. Secondly, creation has a creator. Thirdly, law implies a lawmaker. The second point we discussed was the definition of God. Two definitions. First, source, controller, proprietor, enjoyer. And the second definition, Bhagavan. He who possesses six opulences to the fullest degree. What are the six? Wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, renunciation. That was the second point, definition of God. Third point we discussed today was, can I see God? The cause and effect theory. Example of the fan and the current, the puppet and the puppeteer, the arrow and the archer, trees and the soil. The fourth thing we discussed today was three methods of acquiring knowledge. Pratyaksha, Anuman and Shabda. And we concluded that scripture is the word of God in a documented form. How many gods are there? Fifth point. One God known by different names. Sixth, why so many scriptures? Level of the students to understand. And seventh, finally, what scriptures are we supposed to study? The Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Now we have a clear definition of God. Tomorrow's discussion will be, who is that God? Who is that God? Who stands to that post? 33 crore are there. Who wins the election? Tomorrow is the election day. Right. Who will be voted as Bhagawan? Right. So do not miss tomorrow. Tomorrow's session is one God or many gods. I'd like to thank you all very much for attending the session this evening. And for questions and discussions, I'll be here and we'll arrange the chairs so we can all sit and have a question answer session also. Thank you very much.
We have an announcement. As you